Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilbert, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the Sunday worship on May 31st, 2020.
First reading is from Numbers 11, 24 through 30. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad, the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from youth, said, "My lord, Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel, 'And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 7th chapter. On the last day of the feast, on the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. On the night before Jesus went to the cross, he made this promise to his disciples. Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, he will bear witness about me. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come." My dear friends in Christ, on this great day of Pentecost, Jesus made good on that promise. Our ascended Lord sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit revealed himself among the people with a mighty sound and sight. There was a rumble of a great and powerful wind, and yet there was no wind. There were tongues of fire resting on each of the disciples' heads, and yet they did not burn up. Through his people, God proclaimed the work of Jesus in languages they had never spoke. And yet everyone there clearly understood those languages. And more importantly, the word that was being proclaimed, the word of God to all people of all nations. The Holy Spirit was present and active in God's people, in God's church here on earth. Now that God chose to reveal himself in this most startling way on this day, was not by chance or coincidence. Long ago, back in the days of Moses, when God first introduced the Passover to his chosen people, he also introduced an important feast by the name of Pentecost. And yet there was another feast to take place before Pentecost, known as the First Fruits, and another one after that called the Feast of Pentecost itself. Pentecost. What does Pentecost mean? Simply that. 50 days later. 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. Pentecost was one of three major feasts where God would call his people to come together and to gather before him in his temple. Now, on that Pentecost, which followed Jesus' resurrection and ascension, all the people who made that annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem came to the house where the disciples were there waiting for Jesus' promise to be fulfilled. This assembly would be the final gathering of the Old Testament church on earth. Now, those who greeted the pilgrims were telling them all about Jesus, who he was, and what he had done for them. You could say the disciples were just doing what Jesus had commanded them to do, to bear witness and to share the good news with everyone. But those who were doing the talking weren't speaking in any of the local languages, in the Hebrew or Aramaic or Greek or even the Latin that was commonly used in those days in and around Jerusalem. No. Every person who gathered there heard about Jesus in his own native language, the language in which they had been raised from birth. Therefore, there could be no misunderstanding, no misinterpreting of what was being said and what those people heard. They heard about how Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, how he was crucified, died, and was buried, how he descended into hell, and how on the third day he rose again from the dead, of how he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father, and of how he will come again to judge the living and the dead in all his glory. But until that time came, he would keep his promise to be with us always by sending his Holy Spirit to live in the hearts of the people of his New Testament church. A mighty and powerful wind, tongues of fire, the gospel spoken in many, many foreign tongues. The beginning of the New Testament church is an amazing account, and perhaps so much so that the excitement created by some of these amazing things can serve to be distracting. people can read about this and be so impressed by that miraculous stuff that took place on that first Pentecost in the New Testament church, that they can lose complete sight of the reason for which the Holy Spirit was sent to us, to create a living and saving faith in our hearts, which can only come by hearing the Word of God. Now that, of course, begs a question. On the day of Pentecost, what is more important? That amazing way in which the Spirit appears, or the purpose for which He appears? For what reason does the Holy Spirit come? To give you that supercharged boost of spiritual power? To make you a multilinguist? To put you in touch with the cosmic forces around you? To stir up your passions and bring you to tears? Is that why the Holy Spirit comes to make His home here in and among us? No. No, it's not. First of all, my friends, we should all be excited about our salvation. We should rejoice that Christ would give His life for the likes of us. And what is better than knowing that you are redeemed not by the things you do, but by what the Son of God has done for you? You would be dead not to feel sorrow on Good Friday or joy on Easter morning. And all those feelings you feel about your Lord and experience are good. They're good indeed. But what you may feel on any given day is no indicator of how God feels about you. You know, sometimes I've had people speak to me about the Holy Spirit in glowing terms when they're feeling upbeat and cheerful and excited. And then I've also heard people question whether the Spirit is really present in their lives when they're feeling down and depressed, when they're feeling angry and frustrated, when they feel like punching their boss in the face, when they're feeling a little bit fed up with their spouse and kids, when they feel as though the pastor has said far too much. You know, there are those days in this earthly life when Christians just don't feel like Christians. How do you feel at times like that? Like maybe the Holy Spirit has gotten up and gone away and abandoned you? My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, don't let your feelings get the best of you. You see, God does not work in that way. God is not swayed by our emotions. And that is why God chooses not to speak to us through our changing emotions, but rather through His unchanging and trustworthy Word. When all those devout souls from every nation under heaven came together, each and every one of them heard the same unchanging Word. They heard about Jesus, about His perfect life, about His sacrificial death, about His resurrection and His ascension, and His future return. They heard about how the work of Jesus forgives sins and makes us holy in the sight of God. They heard that faith in Jesus receives all the gifts that He has earned for us there on the cross. And what they heard, they were able to understand with the help of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be our helper, and that's what the Holy Spirit has been sent to do. Now, I want you to think about this. How do those people during that first Pentecost of the New Testament church feel on the day after Pentecost? After the sound of the mighty wind ceased, after the tongues of fire vanished, and the tongues of all the people returned to their local languages. There was nothing left to get excited about. There was nothing left to get excited about, right? Well, actually wrong. You see, the Holy Spirit was still there. And by His power through the Word of God, the Lord continued to add to the number of those people who were being saved each and every day, even to this very day. Because that, my friends, is how God intends it to be. And it's always going to be that way until Christ returns. And nothing you may feel will ever change that. Through the same unchanging and unfailing Word of God, the Holy Spirit points you to Jesus. And that is why God commands you to hear His Word and to experience it in holy baptism and in the Lord's Supper, so that the Holy Spirit may be at work in you here when you confess. When you confess your faith in the company of your fellow believers, and when you're out there, when you share your faith with those people who do not know Jesus. You see, the Holy Spirit is ever at work in His church today. The Holy Spirit continues to call you by the gospel, enlighten you with His gifts, to sanctify you and keep you in the true faith, along with the whole Christian church on earth. He is here to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of your unrighteousness, so that on the last day, He may raise you up from the dead and give eternal life to you and to all believers in Christ. My dear friends, near and far, those are the facts, and this is most certainly true. Go in peace, in Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.